Hallelujah. Lamentations 3:21, I trust God for speed to be able to bring closure to the series I started like three Sundays ago, The Power of Remembering. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 21, trusting God for speed to bring this to a closure. 3:21. These I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. Verse 22 says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Not by anything we've done, not by our personal security. It is of the Lord's mercies. Yeah, we pray and we can pray and we continue to pray. But it is of the Lord's mercies. Never forget that all your life. No matter what you go through, no matter how bad the season may be, good times come, bad times come, but the faithfulness of God remains the same. His mercy endureth forever. The psalmist said in Psalm 106 verse 1, the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth for how long? Psalm 107 verse 1. Go to Psalm 107 verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Oh, complain unto the Lord. What did he say you should do? No matter the season you find yourself, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why should I give thanks to the Lord? Why? For the word for is also the word because in this context. Because he is good and his mercy endures for 1 year. Psalm 118 and verse 1. 118 and verse 1. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? For he is good. Because his mercy endureth forever. God is the God of mercy. A merciful Father. A gracious God. In Psalm 103, one of the verses there, the psalmist said, the Lord is merciful and gracious. Slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. For as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. The wind passeth over it, and it is no more, and the place thereof shall know it no more. We are here this morning because the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. Jeremiah recalled this to mind in the middle of his depression, in the middle of his dark days, in the middle of his lamentations, right in the middle. Every other place was dark, but somewhere in the middle, light came up. The book of Jeremiah, generally, in itself, a lot of the prophecies there, if you're going through depression, it's not the book you want to read. Because it's just gloom and gloom and darkness and sword and blood and pestilence and famine and war. But in the middle of it, somewhere in Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, light sprang up right there. God spoke. He said, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. I understand what you're dealing with. I know the darkness and the gloom around you. But I want you to remember that I think some thoughts towards you. And my thoughts of shalom. The word translated peace there is the Hebrew word shalom, which means nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. These are my thoughts when I look at you, when I think towards you, I am thinking that nothing should go missing in your life, nothing broken and nothing lacking. All around wellness. Those are my thoughts, saith the Lord. They are thoughts of good and not of evil, to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a future and hope. That's what NIV says. KJV says to give you an expected end. Jeremiah had to recall this to mind, and that helped him to have hope again. The darkest night in the life of a believer is the night when hope goes out, when the light of hope goes out. Hope is key in the life of a believer. Hope is important. You must hold on to hope in the middle of your despair, in the middle of your dark days, in the middle of your challenges. If there is anything you give up, don't give up. Don't release it. Don't let it go. Don't let hope slip through your fingers. You must lay hold on it because it is the anchor for the soul. When they pack a ship on the at the bank, the river bank or the edge of the sea, they have to anchor it. There is an anchor for the ship. They have to anchor it to the seabed. They use it to key it right there so that the waves and the current of the sea will not drift it away. When challenges come, like the waves and the current of the sea against your soul, it is hope that anchors you on the promises of God. Let me say this very clearly. Bible hope does not precede faith. Because many people don't understand this. They think that there has to be hope for there to be faith. No. Bible hope is the result of faith. It doesn't precede faith. You don't have hope, then you're going to have faith. No, you have faith, and as a result of your faith, then comes hope. Oh, so someone will argue and say, but Pastor, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, so we have to hope for it before we have the faith. No, faith is the substance. Without the substance, there is nothing to hope for. Faith can also be described this way, as the foundation of the things hoped for. Without faith, we can't hope for anything. We walk by faith, and so we have hope because we are walking by faith. So we know that tomorrow is going to be better than today because we are coming from somewhere. Our faith is anchored in the Word of God. Now the Word of God comes and brings faith. That lays the foundation. Then we now have hope. So when you go out of church and somebody tells you, how do you know that your tomorrow will be better than today? Because I have been told from the Word of God that even though the night may tarry, a new day is going to break. According to Psalm 30 and verse 5, he said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And I believe that. And so because I believe it, I have hope. Are you getting what I'm saying? What people call hope in the world is wishful thinking. That is not Bible hope. Okay, so are you going to pass your exams? Well, I hope so. I just hope that things get better in Nigeria. I hope there's going to be a new government. I hope. That is not Bible hope. What you're saying is you wish, you just wish. Are you going to pass your exams? Well, I wish. But if you're a person of faith, are you going to pass your exams? You don't wish so. You know so. Can I have an amen? Hope is so important that in Romans 15:13, Paul the apostle prayed that over the Roman church. And it's one of my favorite scriptures. And I prayed over you. I prayed over this church. I prayed for you guys. Because I know you guys are going through a lot. Many, many times that people don't know. This is a heartfelt prayer. Paul, we're going to read it in the KJV, and then you give it to me in the Amplified Classic. In the KJV, he said, now the God of hope. He calls God the God of hope. You can't have Jesus and be hopeless at the same time. He's not the king of hopelessness. He's the king of hope. Can I have an amen? Amen. Now, the God of hope, and this is a prayer. At the end of this prayer, I want your amen to be resounding. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? The expression has way. Did you hear what I said? Now, the God of hope fill you with what? Joy. All joy and peace in believing. Why? That you may abound, have an abundance of hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I have an amen to that? Yeah.
Give it to me in AMPC, please, very quickly. I need to move on very fast because I want to wrap this up today. May the God of hope, may the God of your hope so fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith. So faith is the foundation. Faith is the foundation. Are you getting what I'm saying? You're coming from faith, and so hope is built on it. If your hope is not built on the foundation of faith, there is no base and there is no basis. Where there is no base, it means there is no basis. There's nothing is standing on, it's just floating in the air. And that's why people have it today, they don't have it tomorrow. They have hope today, they don't have it. They have it in the morning, they don't have it in the evening. And they kill themselves. They commit suicide. Because when the light of hope goes out, that's the darkest night of a believer. Or of any person at all. Through the experience of your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Ghost has something to do with our hope. This is Bible hope. Through the power of, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound and be overflowing, bubbling over with hope. I pray for you, may you bubble over with hope. When people have hope, you can see it on their countenance. And when they have lost hope, you can also see it. People die in the hospital, especially having fought a terminal sickness or a protracted illness, when they lose hope. When they say, look, let me just go. Tired. That's why you must watch your mouth. That statement, I'm tired, is loaded. More loaded than you think many, many times. When people say, I'm just tired. I've lost two precious people after they made those statements. I'm not saying that the statement killed them, but it's a pointer to something. Something deeper. And listen, the devil is skillful at his work. He's waiting on you to release bullets to him so that he can use that bullet against you. Our words are bullets. We should use them against the enemy, not against ourselves. Imagine a country where you have your security operatives giving the bullets to armed robbers. Now, it means the armed robbers are empowered to use those bullets against the citizens. Now, is this supposed to be that way? Come on, talk to me, church. Is this supposed to be that way? So you are, before you blame the country, blame yourself. When you release words against your own life, I'm just sick and tired. I can't take it anymore. And many, many young people have committed suicide based on those reckless statements. You can be tired, yeah? But please don't confess it. When you're tired, one of the lines of our confession says, I speak the right words. It is not the right confession to say that you're tired when you are. So what to say is, I am strengthened in my inner man by the Holy Spirit. Can I have an amen? Amen. I bubble over with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you have hope? Three people have hope. Do you have hope? Do you really have hope? I want you to recall this to mind. Jeremiah had to recall that to mind. The power of remembering. In the middle of darkness, he said, thus I recall to mind. Therefore have I hope. I recall to mind the goodness of the Lord. I recall to mind the mercies of the Lord. I'm going to give you 5 points on what to remember. I've given you two already. I gave you two last Sunday. Can you remember them? Number one, remember his what? Don't be afraid. Remember his what? His name. His name. I'm not dwelling on that today again. We already spoke about that. Number two, I said, remember what? Did I tell you number two thing to remember? Oh, so number two thing to remember was the practical aspect of last Sunday's service. The practical aspect of last Sunday's service was that we took communion. All right? Remember his sacrifice. Remember his sacrifice. Remember his sacrifice. Go to Matthew 26, 26 to 28. Matthew 26, 26 to 28, please be fast on the system. God bless you. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body, right? And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. Right? Verse 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. He did this on the night he was going to be crucified. The night he was going to be crucified, they were having him having their supper. That's why they call it the Lord's Supper. And then he took bread and consecrated it and said to them, take it. And then he took the cup in the same manner and said, take it. This is my blood of the New Testament, shed for the remission of sins of many, as many as would receive him. Now, Paul the apostle picked that up in 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, let's take it from verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11 from verse 23. I want to be very fast with this so that I can go to the other point. For Paul was speaking here, and he was referring to what we just read in Matthew. And in fact, you know, what we read in Matthew, one of my points of attraction for that scripture was the fact that if you backpedal a bit, if you go back to Matthew, if you backpedal a bit, the Bible says that after they took supper, they sang a hymn. Then Jesus went out to the Mount of Olives. Can you look at that scripture for me? Same Matthew that we read earlier, 26. If you go back to verse 25, verse 24, Matthew 26, Lord have mercy this morning in the name of Jesus. Matthew, I'm no longer in 1 Corinthians, I'm now in Matthew. So go to verse 20, you're in 23 now, go to 24, 25. Let's see what's there. Yeah, go to verse 25. Oh no. That's not what I'm looking for, but it's there. Yeah, verse, have you found it? Verse 30, okay, go up to verse 30. Verse 30. Okay, so, no, go to verse 29, then we'll come to 30. Good. So this was where they took the communion, right? But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Right? Then verse 30. It was very fascinating for me to know that Jesus sang a hymn. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. One of the questions I will ask the Lord when I see him: what hymn did you sing on that day? I mean, can you imagine, can you picture that in your mind? Jesus with the disciples in the room, and they had the meal, and then they stood up and they sang a hymn. So I'm encouraging you again, church, and the choir, and everyone, sing hymns. Maybe Expressionals Choir would help us with a compilation of hymns that we can have as a church, and people can pick them up, pick up a copy. Maybe just 20 hymns or 30 hymns or 50 hymns. Let's have a compilation. Pick up hymns. Paul said this in Ephesians chapter 5. If you go all the way to verse 23, 24, 25. Yes, quickly, can you be there? Are you spiritual enough to locate it for me? Now go to verse 25, 24, 25. No. I think you have to backpedal a bit. Backpedal a bit. He encouraged us to sing spiritual songs. Yes, good, you are there. Good, you're there. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, right? Speaking to yourselves in 1, psalms, 2, hymns, and 3, spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You are supposed to fill up your life with these songs. Not the songs that encourage you to commit fornication. Not the songs that encourage you to twerk. And Christians forget who they are many times in the moment of pleasure. Those songs are not meant for us. They're not designed for us. They are designed against us. They war against the soul. Satan knows how to penetrate. And you know, you agree with me that a lot of worldly songs are very, very melodious. Just the beat alone. Tum, 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 bam. Your head is shaking. If your head is not shaking, your leg is shaking. Lord have mercy. Let's fill up our lives with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I just give that to you by the side, free of charge. So go back to my 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, And verse 23, Paul was speaking, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus," somebody said the Lord Jesus, "the same night," said the same night, "in which he was betrayed, took bread." Same night, he took bread. That was symbolic. "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" We don't see his physical body anymore. But I tell you, every time you feast on the words of Jesus, you are partaking of his body and his blood. We take the communion as a symbol. The power is not in the unleavened bread and the juice that we drink. You can drink that all your life and nothing happens. But if you have the revelation of the word of God and you feast on the words of Jesus, and then you approach the table of the Lord and partake of the communion, you can expect a healing. Can I have an amen? Without the communion, just the word alone is enough. Because some people take it to the extreme. Anything happens to them, please just let me get communion. Your faith should not be in the communion. I mean the elements. Your faith should be in the words of Christ, because that's how faith comes. So Paul was saying this, and he said after the, okay, no, I've done this. Go to the next verse. Next verse, please. I'm going to stop at verse 34. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes." Yeah? So when we do this, he said, as often as you do it. So I will encourage you, as often as you do it, he said, not as scarcely as you do it. As often as you do it. How often should we be feasting on the word of God? Every day. How often should we take the blood of Jesus from the word of God? How often? Every day. And then even the physical communion we take, you can take it often. Don't limit it to once a month that we do in church. You can take communion with your family, with your siblings at home. When there are serious issues, my family will sit around the table to take communion. Sometimes I take communion alone, just on my own. I just want to worship the Lord. I just want to be conscious of his presence. Our world is too crowded. Sometimes you need to take a break. Take a pause. Reflect on him. Remember him. He said, as often as you do this, you are bringing again to remembrance the death of the Lord. What was accomplished in his death? He took our place. You are saying, Lord, I remember you died in my place so that I might have life. Lord, I remember that you took away my sins so that I might become the righteousness of God in you, according to 1 Corinthians 5:21. Lord, I remember that your blood was shed, so mine will not be shed. Your body was broken, so mine will not be broken. You are calling to remembrance. That's why the communion service is supposed to be a solemn service. When you have it even alone at home or with your siblings, you're not just chattering and just laughing and doing whatever you're doing. You are aware that you are at the table of the Lord. It's very powerful. I remember a young man who was billed for surgery in UCH. He had aneurysm. That's a condition of some, maybe nerve, what do you guys call it, in the brain. Blood. There was blood, a blood vessel in the brain. The professor that came to review him said in his over 30 years or 30-something years of practicing, this guy's case was so rare, it was like the second or the third he was seeing. Now, he was used to aneurysm and things like that because these people deal with the brain, they are neuro people, right? But this particular type, and he was a young man, fresh graduate. What's the problem? He doesn't have a job. He was looking for a job. And then he was thinking, over analysis that leads to paralysis. Is this the way my life is going to be going? Can I tell you that your life is good? Two people believe that? Yes, I say your life is good. Yes, there is nothing wrong with your life. You have a good life. Your seasons are not always good, but seasons always change. But you have a good life. Settle that. Don't let anybody, any prophet, confuse you, telling you, Maori, Maori's kaba. Baba, don't see nonsense here. My life is a good life. There are times in life we hit a bad patch, but it's not the end. It's only a bend. We keep moving. Can I have an amen? Amen. You don't hit chapter 2 of a book and say, oh, that's it's all over. No, you're still going to chapter 48. The totality of the book is good. The totality of your story is good. Your life is good. Jesus hasn't come to redeem you into a bad life. No, if he has redeemed you, it was bad before, now it is good. Can I have an amen? Amen. Don't let anybody make merchandise of you. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till it comes. You are bringing to remembrance what the Lord has done. His death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension. Go to the next verse. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Don't drink it, don't partake of the body, the communion unworthily. Meaning that you need to judge yourself first. Check your heart. Everything starts with the heart. Check your heart. What kind of life are you living? Do you need to repent? Some preachers tell you today you don't need to repent. Grace has covered you. Continue to live the way you are living. No, Paul said if you continue like that, you're going to die. I mean actual physical death. Many Christians don't judge themselves, and that's why Satan takes advantage of them. Judge yourself. Judge yourself. Get rid of bitterness. Get rid of everything that is ungodly. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Let it go. Next verse. But let a man examine himself. What did he say you should do? Did he say let a man examine his neighbor? Did he say let a man examine somebody online? This is a business for you. Examine yourself. Mind your business. Let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of this bread, of that bread, and drink of that cup. After examining himself, am I living in strife? Am I in bitterness? Is there someone I need to release? Next verse. For he that eats and drinks unworthily, eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Yeah. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That sleep is actually death, he's talking about. Said, when you partake of the body of the Lord Jesus and his blood unworthily, when you fail to judge yourself, when you fail to examine yourself, when you continue to be reckless, it's going to lead eventually to being sickly and then to lead to death. May that not be your portion in Jesus' name. Amen. Young people, we live in a very corrupt world. Don't be carried away. Don't be carried away by the frenzy. Don't be carried away by the glitz and glam. Don't be carried away by what is popular, what is trending. Don't be carried away. Don't join the bandwagon. The Bible says don't join the multitude to do evil. The multitudes always do evil. Where there is evil, that's where everybody rushes to. In fact, when everybody is rushing to something, step back and examine. Lord, do you want me to do this? Don't be like the mule that has no understanding. You are a child of the Most High God. Everybody is writing answers, keeping in their private part to take into exam hall. You are a child of the Most High God. You can't do that. I had the testimony of one of our brothers. He lives in the U.S. now. I was encouraged. When he went to write his GCE, I mean as elementary as GCE, O level, in his center, they announced, the invigilators announced, now everybody begin to contribute to 200 naira. Why? Because they had external supervisors and they wanted to say to them so that you'll be able to do anyhow, so that you can all pass. A young man, not even our church member, a young man lifted his hand and said, sir, excuse me, sir. I said, yes. They had already started collecting 200. Yes, 200, 200. Yes, what do you have to say? The boy said, sir, I'm sorry, I'm a Christian. I can't do it. A teenager. You are a Christian? Oh, yeah, move here. No. Before they finished, our brother then said, ah, there's a fellow believer here. Excuse me, sir. He said, yes, I'm a Christian too, and I can't do that. Two of you, move here. So they moved. They collected 200 from everybody. Then they took the two of them. The two of you that are Christians. Oh yeah, follow me. They took them to a separate classroom. and gave them and monitored them. With all the people that were meant to monitor the multitude, they left the multitude. They now monitored the two Christians. The two Christians had the best results when the results were out. The world system is wired against us. Bow or burn. When you say, I'm not going to bow, I tell you what, you are not going to burn. I do entertainment business. I know all the kind of things I have seen, all kinds of offers. And I said, I don't do such. No, I don't do it. No, I don't. Yeah, you'll go broke for a season. But if you stand for God, if it is truly God you are standing for, God will ensure that your needs are met. Did you hear what I said? And it doesn't cost God anything to lift you beyond what where a man can take you. Look at all of them who want mentors, who want people to lift them. They want people to help them to rise, to become stars. See how their lives are messed up. Some guys are wearing diapers now. Men wearing diapers. Because that place has been destroyed. Because the way God designed, look, anything that is against God's design will bring disaster. Listen to me. Anything against God's design will bring disaster. Listen again. Anything against God's design is a disaster. A future that is not structured by the scriptures will end up being fractured. Oh, deep God. God designed the mouth to take in. Every time something else is coming out of the mouth, and I don't mean your saliva, even your saliva that is generated in your mouth still goes in. Am I right about that? When a woman begins to spit, you know something is happening. Something is happening somewhere. Because it's not normal for you to come to church now and bring a container and service is going on. Service is still going on. Oh yeah. Take her to the clinic. Am I right about that? Food goes into your mouth. The moment food starts coming out of your mouth, you know there's a problem. Come on, talk to me, church. Do you know there's a problem? Because it's designed to take in, to receive. The other mouth is supposed to be the exit point. It is supposed to, after you have taken all these ones and it has been processed, it's supposed to be an exit point. And then you now decide. They now decide in their own wisdom that that's where to take something in. That's why today they are wearing diapers. There's one I know. He can't walk well again. This is the way he walks now. He can't walk well again. I met him at an event in Lagos. I said, oh, how far now? He said, oh, man of God. I said, yeah, I won here. Yeah. And then I now took my time. I was looking. I looked at him. He was not walking like this. With a smile. Damaged. Have you learned something this morning? Let's move on quickly. I want to finish this. Remember his sacrifice. You don't have to live the LGBTQ lifestyle to be great. You don't have to. Many great men that have walked this earth never did. And their names have gone down in the annals of history as great inventors. People that had the testimony of knowing God. Have you heard of the man Isaac Newton? He propounded the Newton's laws of motion. These men were people that were close to God. Some of you don't know. You might not see their name in the Bible, but they walk with God. The first law of motion, Newton's first law of motion, states that a body will remain in a state of rest or of continued acceleration or continued motion unless an external force acts on it. Is it not true? A person will remain on the same spot in his life. Or a person will continue to make progress unless an external force acts on that person. What does that mean? If you stay put, you don't have a vision for your life, no plan, you're a freelancer, there's no time, you are every time you are free, you are not living on a budgeted time. There is no plan, no schedule for your day, the task to do, what I want to achieve, nothing. Everybody calls you. Are you free? I'm free. Are you at home? I'm at home. If I don't come to my house, I will come to your house. You wake up in the morning and you say, today is Tuesday. Where will I go? I need to go somewhere. You are visiting people all over the place. Your life remains on the spot unless an external influence acts on that life. And a person will continue to make progress until the day he says, getting distracted. Samson was making progress until he got distracted. His life was on uniform acceleration, uniform motion, until he met some Miss in Gaza, and then from there, Miss Delilah. And they put him on a spot. They put his life on a hold. His ministry came to an end. And he killed more people at his death, more than when he was alive. Is that a good testimony? And he bought more cars on the day of his burial, more than when he was alive. Does that sound good? May you never be like that. Remember what Christ has done. Remember what Christ has done. Number three, remember his promises. This is very important. When you are going through your dark times, when you are going through your challenges, remember his promises. Our lives are not just left to be drifting on the high seas of life. We have promises. We have promises from God. His word is full of his promises. Isaiah 34:16. And media, you need to be fast. I have a number of scriptures here. And those of you that are writing, please write down and go back home and meditate. Meditate. What you are going through right now is not the end of your life. There are promises over your life. Somebody do like this. Say, there are promises over my life. Glory be to God. Just yesterday, I learned there's a dance like this now. I don't know what. Is it a gospel dance? It's not. Yeah, I don't know, Sha. But me, this one, we've had this before that one came. There are promises over my life. There are promises over my life. I am not a nonentity. I don't live an empty life. Look, are you getting what I'm saying? Are you feeling me this morning? There are promises over my life. And that's why I cannot just live anyhow, and I can't die anyhow. There are promises over my life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Tell your neighbor, say tag along. There are promises over this guy's life. He may not have money right now, but there are promises. He may not have what you expect him to have right now, but there are promises. And can I tell you what? Anytime God makes promises, they are covenant promises. Babati soro, oti soro, abushe o. Toba ti soro lekan, amimbe lori. Babe. Isaiah 34:16, read everybody. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Do something. Read your Bible. Tell your neighbor, say, read your Bible. Pray every day. Why? He said, no one of these shall fail. Not one promise from God shall fail. My God does not know how to fail. He won't fail. He won't. None of these shall fail. None. How many promises over your life will fail? N-O-N-E. None, nada. None of this shall fail. None shall want a mate. All the sisters in this house, you will not want your mate. You know what that means? When it's time to settle down, you will settle down. All of the brothers, none of you will lack your mate. In the name of Jesus. This is a promise from God. It's a promise. You can take it to God. Put it like this before him and say, Father, this is your promise. Make it good. You can take the promises of God to the bank and cash it. And say, this is the promise of God. There shall be showers of blessings. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing. Come from the Savior above. Come on. Oh, yes. Oh. Malakarabasta kadabahaya labahaste. And in the mighty name of Jesus, this season, as hard as it is in Nigeria, God will take you from the realm of mercy drops round us are falling to the realm of showers of blessings. In the name of Jesus. Somebody shout showers. Nobody steps out of a shower and you doubt it. Nobody steps out of a shower and people doubt it. It will be obvious you just stepped out of the shower. It will be obvious you just stepped out of the shower. It will be evident you have just been drenched in the blessing of God. Everywhere you go in the name of Jesus, the rest of this year shall be the best of this year for you. Somebody say promises. Oh, come on. The promises are there. They are there. That's why you must open this book. It's a book of covenant promises. There are too many for one day, too many for one year, too many for a lifetime. In the church of Brother Bill Winston, someone I love very much, there's a young man in the church. I don't know if he's in the choir. His name is Donald Lawrence. Donald Lawrence has written some songs that have blessed my life. One of them is, "The promises of God are always there, everywhere, just like the air." It's not a popular song, but if you go and listen to it, the promises of God are always there, everywhere, just like the air. He said, all you need is just breathe and believe. The promises are, they are too many, they are too, but if you won't open the book where they are written, you won't know them. That's why somebody will be giving you useless prophecy. You'll be shaking down the road in Mokola. Get out of the way! Omoemi, when you want to go to bed in the night, switch off the light. No, don't switch it off. Somebody told me that. I was fixing my car in Ashi years ago. My Mitsubishi, it was still in a very good shape at the time. Bouncing car. So they were fixing the tire and I sat down across my leg and the man came and asked the vulcanizer, "Who's got this nice car?" The man pointed at me. I was wearing my navy blue combat short. Come on, man. Nice t-shirt. Tommy Hilfiger. Nice sneakers. Maybe Reebok or something like that. Crossing my leg. I was just chilling. And the man came. Ekpele alagba. I said, "You know Ekpele, sir?" I don't know, Minisha singing, "Ejisha no, sir." Then he started giving me prophecies. My mother. When you go to bed in the night, you normally switch off your light. I said, "Yes." And to him, thinking I was gullible, to him, that was a revelation. You normally switch off. Oh no. When it was done and he wanted to go, I said, "Oga, please come, sir." I said, "I also have a word for you from the Lord." He said, "Eh?" I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Stop going about deceiving people." One of the things he told me was to go and locate a motor park, what we call garage, where people travel from, like Iwo Road, people go to Lagos. He said in every motor park in Nigeria, they always have a shrine. There's a place where they worship Ogun, the god of metal. He said, because you know, their work is Ogun, is metal. He said, "So I should go and locate one." I said, "Yes, sir. What should I do there?" He said, "I should take a chicken, live chicken, and ask the head of the garage that I wanted to sacrifice. They will take me there." I said, "Wow!" I said, "Sir, so you have just told me now to worship an idol, but you are a pastor, you are a prophet. You did not even point me to your Jesus." I said, "If I were an unbeliever now, I will run with what you have said. I will go and do it. Are you leading people to heaven or to hell?" The man breathed. I said, "Oga, I know you interestingly. I've seen you in your church before." I said, "Your church is somewhere around Ashi. If you're driving from the express, Ojo, Iwo Road Express, then you want to come into Ashi. It's by one corner, planks and cement." He said, "Yes." I said, "Look at you, making a mess of people's lives." I said, "Tell me the sacrifice that is superior to the one all time, one and for all sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Tell me the blood of chicken that can wash away the curse. Quiet forever. I told him, if you don't mind, I will lead you to Christ now. He said, don't be praying for us. I said, you need to pray for yourself, sir. He walked away shamefully. Know who you are. Remember the sacrifice of Christ. Are you with me? And remember the promises of God over your life. Go to Isaiah, Isaiah 30. We've read 36, 34 and verse 16. Isaiah 35 and verse 10. There's a powerful promise there. Isaiah 35 and verse 10. Isaiah 35 and verse 10. I'm going to be in Isaiah for a while and now move on. Isaiah 35 and verse 10. Are you there? Okay. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Amen? They shall obtain what? Joy and what? Gladness. And sorrow and sighing shall flee away. No more depression. Can I have an amen? Amen. If you are dealing with depression, this is the promise. It's an antidote for depression. The ransom of the Lord shall return. Who are the ransom of the Lord? Are you part of them? He said you shall return. When you return, you come to Zion. When you come to Zion, with what? Come on, talk to me. With what? Songs. What kind of songs? That's why you should have psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. What you don't have, you can't give. On the day when you're supposed to sing to the Lord, you'll be singing rubbish. Because rubbish, your phone is filled with rubbish. Some of you need to declutter, I beg you. When some of you are promoting your business, you put worldly songs. Put Christian songs. I'm looking forward to a day when I'm going to walk into a gym and what I'm hearing there are Christian songs with which I can walk out. Now, some of you think that walking out, it has to be, oh, no, pastor, there's no Christian song. It's a lie. Search, you will find. Have you heard of the man Ty Tribbett? It looks like Ayo. Ty Tribbett, somehow. That guy has energy. That guy, can you tell me one of his songs? A very popular one. Yeah, yeah. That guy, that guy has energy. I mean, when you're listening to those songs, you will pump iron. Are you getting what I'm saying? Forget my call, Lori, Lori, Lori. Even that was, I don't know, when I told my children, they started laughing at me. Daddy, you didn't say Lori, Lori, is it lonely, lonely? I said, oh, how did you hear it? He said, I don't have ears for their lyrics. They always sound very funny to me. There was one that sang many years ago, a Nigerian guy, Alapomeji, Engineer Day, Engineer Taylor. It sounds honestly, in all honesty, it sounds in my ears like Engineer Taylor, Engineer Taylor. Gongwaso, Guduwawu, Engineer Day. I'm telling you, that's how it sounds in my ears. It took one person to tell me no. He said, anywhere there. So, Engineer Day, Mango. Who is this Engineer Day, Engineer Day? If I sometimes hear Engineer Taylor, Engineer Taylor. Sincerely. Because my ears are not trained for those things. My ears are trained for hymns, for psalms, and for spiritual songs. You will come back to Zion with songs in the name of Jesus. You will obtain joy and gladness in the name of Jesus. We have laughed a little bit in the presence of God this morning. Is that a sin? It's good to laugh. I know the pastor can make you laugh sometimes. It's fine. And may that continue throughout your life. All of you people that are moody, 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 moody every time. Be calming down. Laugh, smile. Some of you brothers are very handsome, but the sisters have never discovered. Oshé, Sharon. So the first time you smile like this, you say, is he crying? Laugh, smile. Ladies, some of you, we don't know how beautiful you are until the day you smile. Say, oh my God. Remember his promises, amen? Isaiah 25 and verse 4. Isaiah 25, one of my scriptures from my teenage years. Isaiah 25 verse 4. Everybody, let's read this together. It says, "For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress." If you are in distress, the Lord is your strength. Amen? A refuge from the storm, a saddle from the heat. There is heat now, but God is our shadow from the heat. God covers us. A shadow means there's a presence. One person understands that. A shadow means there is a presence. You can't be here and they see your shadow right now in Ghana. We see your shadow here because you are here. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, because the Almighty is in the secret place. It's a shadow from the heat. Have you ever run into a shadow before? Have you gone for an event in an open field, but then there were about 2 trees planted at the end of the field in the scorchingly hot sun? People will run to go and stand in the shadow. Even when you drive, you want to park your car in the shadow because the heat does not touch you there. See God as your shadow from the heat. No matter the heat in our country and all over the world, Jesus remains our shadow. Can I have an amen? Amen. Remember, and when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall, he hides you from their blast. Glory be to God. Write down these promises, meditate on them, and tell God in your challenging times, "God, this is what your word says. This is what your word says, and I know you won't back down on your word." Isaiah 43 and verse 2. Isaiah 43 and verse 2. I still have a few more scriptures to give you here. Let's read this, everybody. "When thou passest," I know you don't understand that much because it's KJV. All right. I'm still going to give it to you in NLT, but for now. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Notice, it didn't say if you pass through the waters. It says when. It means you will pass through the waters. It doesn't sound good. It doesn't sound like an amen. It doesn't sound like a prayer. These are seasons in our lives. Different seasons. But there is a promise for every season. So when the seasons change, God is still the same. When you pass through the waters, what did he say he will do? What did he say he will do? The reason that the waters will not overflow you is because he will be with you. No water can overflow God. No water can drown him. Give it to me in the NLT, New Living Translation, please. New Living Translation. It's too loud. Don't worry. I've adjusted. It was my glasses that pushed it up. Okay. When you go through deep waters, it didn't say if you. It says when you. So when you are going through it right now, don't say, "Oh, what's wrong with my life? I don't understand my life. I don't like my life." Your life is good. I say your life is good. What's wrong with you? I say your life is good. Say my life is good. Yeah. These things, you are only passing through them. When you pass through a place, you don't stay there. You come out the other way. Can I have an amen? Amen. When you go through deep waters, what did he say he will do? I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength. Because I've built my life on Jesus. Hey, he'll never let me down. He's faithful through every season. So why would he fail now? Why? He was. Yeah. He won. And you call him my uncle. He won't fail. He won't fail. I wish I could sing it in Tyo's voice. He won't fail. Water, please. Glory be to God. Don't worry. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Come on. You should know, Pastor. You don't know PFE. Oh, my God. I'm serious every time. But flow with the Spirit. Praise God. See, when you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. Can I have an amen? Amen. You tell yourself, I'm not going under. I am not. Satan will tell you, you won't escape this one. You're going to go under. Tell him, idiot, I'm not going under. Hey, Mr. Idiot, Mr. Defeated Devil. In fact, remove Mr. Defeated Devil. I am not going under. Why? This is the promise. You stick the promise in his face. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Can I have an amen? Amen. Psalm 91 verse 15, I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I will be with him. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. He shall call upon me. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. God never said you won't get into trouble, but he says when you get into trouble, I'm going to be with you. The presence of the Lord makes the difference. When you get into trouble, God gets into trouble. And when God gets into trouble, trouble itself gets into trouble. Glory be to God. Acts. Let me give you more scriptures. John 14:1, King Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus said so. King Jesus said so. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Verse 27, he repeated the same thing. Verse 27, John 14, verse 1, then verse 27. He said, peace, shalom, I live with you. My shalom I give unto you, not as the word giveth, so give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So if your heart ever gets troubled, you allowed it. Are you with me? There can be trouble all around you. Do we have one church? Are we still together? There can be trouble all around you. There can be trouble staring you in the face. But it's not the same as trouble in your heart. It can stand in your face. If you refuse to open the door of your heart, it cannot enter. And Jesus said, don't let it enter. We begin to sink when trouble enters our heart. Water around a ship does not sink the ship. It floats and glides on the water. But guess what? Punch a hole in the ship and let water begin to trickle in little by little, little by little. That ship doesn't have a future. It's going to sink. So it is not water around the ship that sinks the ship. It is the water in the ship that sinks the ship. It's not trouble around you that sinks you. It's trouble, the one that you allow get into you. If trouble is in you this morning, get it out in the name of Jesus. Command it to go now. Now, tell it, say, get out in the name of Jesus. Amen. I had to do that sometime last year. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I know you said in your word, I should not allow trouble getting in my heart, but there's trouble in my heart right now. Teach me what to do. Tell it to get out. You open the door, you can shut it. If you come to my house and you knock on my door or you press my bell and I look at you and I want you in, I open the door. And then when you come here and you start messing around, you want to start cooking in my kitchen? For what? Or you want to start choosing the kind of meat you want to eat? No, you are my guest. It's what I give you, you eat. No, Pastor, I like the drumstick. That's mine. Pastor, I like it. I am dying. No, you are not mine. You are mine, but spiritually. If you want to mess up, I open the doors. Get out. So if I open the door to ask you in, I can also open the door to say, psst, out. Are you getting what I'm saying, church? Command it. Command trouble to get out. John 16:33. Jesus made a promise also in John 16:33. These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's a promise. That's a promise. He said, in me, you have peace.
In Christ alone, you have peace. In Christ alone, my hope is found. Oh, He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace. When fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all. Here in the love of Christ I stand. Wahala for who no get Jesus. Wahala. If you don't have Jesus, you're a mess.
You can be well packaged. It doesn't answer to packaging. The devil will mess you up. He has messed up people's lives, messed up their destinies, messed up their families, messed up their health, messed up their finances. But if you run to Jesus even as a mess, it will turn you into a messenger who has a message. That's what Jesus will do. In me, you have peace. In the world, you have tribulation, but in me, thank God you have Christ. If you have him, if you don't have him, come. I'm wrapping up now and I'm going to make an altar call. Write down these promises also. Acts 17, 28. In him we live and move and have our being. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Hebrews 13, 5 to 9. Anchor your soul on his sure promises. 2 Corinthians 1, 20. It says all the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen. Point number 4. And then I stop at number 5. Number 4. Remember his faithfulness. Remember his faithfulness. God is faithful. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Write it down quickly. I'm going to go so fast. God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 1, 9. God is faithful. Lamentations 3:21. These I call to mind, then I have hope. Verse 22. Is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Verse 23. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Somebody say God is faithful. Psalm 36 verse 5. Psalm 36 verse 5. His faithfulness reaches to the cloud. Psalm 36 verse 5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Choir, go and learn this song. It's an old song. Go back, learn it, sing it. Let it be part of your praise worship.
Your steadfast love extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the cloud. Your righteousness is like majestic mountains, and your wisdom like the depth of the seas. You come to me. When you come to me, filling my heart with your loving kindness, I hide my feet in the shadows of your wings. I eat my fill from the abundance of your household, and I drink from the streams of rejoicing. You are my king.
I think it was by Don Moen. Learn it. Amen. It's not bubble, bubble, bubble like Naja. Bubble, 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 everything you bubble, bubble, bubble. Sweat, 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 sweat. Sing songs with good lyrics. And I thank God for the praise worship last Sunday. Awesome. And then the one today. Glory be to God. Amen. I'm already looking forward to next Sunday. And I think you should begin to record these sessions. And the special number, I hope we have the clip. Media, please cut that clip for me. The special number today, my help comes from the Lord. I love it. Mwah. God is faithful. Remember his faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 1:9. The Lord is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10:13, the Lord is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, God is faithful. Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, the Lord is faithful. In 1 Samuel 17:37, David recalled the faithfulness of the Lord. As he spoke to Saul, the king, he said, the God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from this Philistine also. And Saul said, go, the Lord be with you. He recalled the faithfulness of God. Always recall. Don't kill yourself because you're going through challenges. Recall. Remember. Remember the faithfulness of God. Was there a time God came through for you? Was there a time he rescued you from death? Was there a time he ever rescued you from destruction? Was there a time he ever answered your prayer? So recall, remember. Those who cannot remember fall into depression. Remember the power of remembering. Finally, Paul remembered. 2 Corinthians 1:10. Paul said, he who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Paul recalled. Point number 5, which is the last point, and we close. Remember your testimonies. Your testimonies. In John chapter 9 and verse 25, there was a young man that was born blind, and Jesus gave him his sight on the Sabbath day. And the powers that be at that time began to fight. They called his parents. They wanted to know if the parents would agree that Jesus was Christ. So they would put them out of the synagogue because they had all agreed. Anybody that calls Jesus Christ, they will send him out of the synagogue. The parents were afraid. So they said, the man is of age. Ask him. Ask our son. And they asked the son, how did he heal you? He said, he made some clay, put it on my eyes and said, go wash. And then he opened my eyes and then I could see. They said, the man is a sinner. See what he told them in verse 25. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. You know, come in. One thing I know is that what? Whereas I was blind, now I see. That's your testimony. Own your story. Remember your testimonies. Don't let anybody make you forget. Don't let any devil cheat you out of your testimony. Don't let anybody undermine your testimony. Is that one a testimony? I think it's even something big. Every testimony is big. One of my uncles is late now. He would say, we thank the Lord for little mercies. Oh, Lord, there's no little mercy in my life. Every mercy is massive. Every mercy in my life is what? Massive. Oh, Toby. Oh, oh. Nitori ti Oluwa seun nitori ti anu re duro titi lai lai anu re da bi yanrin eti okun. His mercies are like the sand on the seashore, innumerable, uncountable. Stand on your feet, everybody. As you remember, remembering will help you to regain courage in your soul to face the giant staring you in the face. And you will bring him down to his knees. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I said you will bring that giant staring you in the face to his knees in the name of Jesus. And God will get the glory out of your life in the name of Jesus. I want to pray for you as I close. The Lord gave me this scripture. Psalm 143. I will just take a few verses there to pray for you. Psalm 143. Hallelujah. Verse 4 says, therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. If this is your condition, you're going through a depressing situation, something that makes you sad, I want you to open up. Don't come out. Just open up to the Lord right now. Verse 5 says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the works of your hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. Stretch forth your hands if you're in that condition. Like someone that wants to receive from the Lord.
My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. Say amen. Amen. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. Say amen. Amen. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Say amen. Amen. Teach me to do thy will. Say amen. Amen. For thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Look at that. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Say amen. Amen. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy mercy's sake. Say amen. Amen. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. Say amen. Amen. And of thy mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul. For I'm your servant. Say amen. Amen. Lift your hands and give him praise this morning. Glory to God. Father, we honor you. Father, we praise you. Thank you, Father.